You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, Indy Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Good evening, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Sounds. We are elated that you have chosen this broadcast on this evening, and we look forward to God blessing you. Stay tuned.
You're ready to live a victorious life. Amen. You're ready to impact society. You're ready to do great things for the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Somebody say, Lord, here I am. Lord, here I am. My God. And it kind of puts me in mind. I remember a vision a long time ago, but God, I just woke up in a vision. Oh, glory to God. And I saw myself coming before this great big city. It was like glass. Oh, glory to God. And I don't know why, but in this vision, I raised my hands to God. And I said, I'm here to break your people out of prison. And a voice came from over the wall. And the voice said, I'm going to help you to break my people out of prison. Oh, glory to God. Anybody feel like you're broken out of prison today? Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 And so, Father, we thank you. And we praise you. We love you so much. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Have your way in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, the people want to hear from you. They don't want to hear from me, but they want to hear from you. And so, God, speak to your people on today. Bless your people. Make your face to shine upon your people. And be gracious unto your people. Lift up your countenance upon your people. And give them peace and rest on today. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise God and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 7. Amen. God is good. Somebody say all the time.
All the time.
And all the time. God is good. Oh, glory to God. Chapter 7. Chapter 7. I was believing God for a word, and I began to ask the Lord, where would he have me to go in the Bible? I remember God giving me 1 Kings chapter 2, and then I heard 5 through 10 in my spirit. I was like, man, that's a whole lot of reading. Then the Lord reminded me of something that he had led me to read earlier in the week. And so it was like, you know, I had a whole lot of, I was trying to read. I remember around 10 something, I just felt a witness in my spirit. I felt like the Lord was saying, go ahead and go to bed. Amen. Praise God. You know, sometimes after work, you're a little bit tired. You know, as a matter of fact, I got up to go on my evening walk, and the enemy started trying to speak in my head, and I begin to cast my, when I hit the door, I said, I cast my cares on Jesus. Oh, glory to God. You will not mess with me today. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because how many know if you're going to be a good Christian, you got to be a professional caster. Glory to God. You got to know how to cast all your cares on Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And so anyways, you're going to be a good Christian, you got to know how to be a professional at casting. Can I tell you one more thing? Rabbi, you got to be a professional tattletale. You just got to learn how to tell on yourself. Amen, somebody. Amen. That's what makes a real good Christian. Oh, glory to God. You look at some of the best people that love the Lord. Amen. Like David. David would just tell on himself. Amen. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And so, Lord, I want you to read. I want you to begin reading from verse 1. Praise the Lord. Read.
Luke 7:1.
Yes. And read down to 4 and 5. As a matter of fact, I'll probably have you read a little bit further past 4 and 5, just so that everybody can get an idea of what's going on here. Read.
Apostle, can I get the mic?
Oh, the mic? You got one? Okay.
So Luke 7:1.
Uh-huh.
When Jesus had finished saying all this to the people, he returned to Capernaum. At that time, the highly valued... Oh, let me go to King James. I'm sorry. Now, when he had ended all his sayings...
Were you in the Amplified?
I was in, like, the NIV or NLT.
Okay.
Right. Okay, so now, when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant, who was dear to him, was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant.
He heard of Jesus. Somebody said he heard of Jesus. Oh, glory to God. He heard of Jesus. Read.
And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he is worthy for whom he should do this. For he loved our nation.
For he loveth our nation. Oh, glory to God. He loveth. How many know that a nation is made up of people? And so it's like saying he loved God's people. Oh, glory to God. You know, it's amazing because there are folks, they don't hardly go to church. But yet they still love the people of God. Oh, glory to God. He loves God's people. And what?
And he has built us a synagogue.
That's a good way of saying he loves God also. Oh, glory to God. The Amplified Bible says he has built us a temple at his own expense.
Yes.
Because sometimes we're not willing, Rabbi, to build. Okay, all right. Sometimes we're not willing to put effort into building God a house. Sometimes we're not willing to put work, somebody say work, effort, into building God a house. Oh, glory to God. Work, effort, money. Come on, to build God a house, oh, glory to God, he had to put some effort behind it. He had to put some work behind it. He had to put some planning behind it. Anybody in here, you're willing to build God a house? Amazing, because we were in here. I told my wife, I said, the Lord gave me these, books to read, these chapters to read, and I got to reading these books, and it was about building God a house. And I'm like, okay, God, what are you saying? As a matter of fact, did I tell you all that he led me also to read chapter 2? And I'm like, God, what are you saying? What are you saying? Oh, glory to God. It was kind of obvious. It was about building God a house. And then he reminded me of this story here. Oh, glory to God. So I was sitting there and I was pondering on it. We were praying here this morning, and Minister Larry began to pray about building God a house. And then my wife broke out laughing. So I'm like, okay, he's praying about building God a house. And she broke out laughing. And she said, because I was just praying that too. And I'm like, everybody in the same vein? Is everybody, what's going on here? God's talking about building a house. Oh, glory to God. Okay, all right.
Better get ready.
I heard that.
It's going to happen.
Ooh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's apparent that he loved the Lord. Oh, glory to God. You gotta love, You know, when you love something, you're willing to put your effort to it, your money to it. Come on. You'll put work to it. I remember when me and my wife, when we started ministry. And I thank God for her and my boys. Because there were times when it was just us. We would have to go to the building, set up the chairs, come on, hauling chairs, setting up speakers, getting up early. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Because it was about loving God's people and building God a house. Apparently, I married the right woman. Because everybody wouldn't have been able, had a mind to get up out the bed. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Come on. Stuff had to be bought. Keyboards, drums. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we look and we just think that it all came together. But we spent a lot of years. I spent a whole lot of time just preaching to my wife and to my boys. Come on. Doing church. Why? Because I believed in what I was called to do. I loved the Lord and I loved his people. You gotta love people.
My God.
Man, when I look back and I was like, man, I was wearing myself. I remember going to the jail and sometimes preaching maybe two or three sermons. Oh, praise the Lord. At least twice. And then coming back to our church, wore out trying to preach. Because I love the Lord. And I wanted people to know Jesus. So I was going to the jails. I was going to the nursing homes. Thank God my wife tolerated me. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Read, daughter.
Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee. But say in a word, and my servant shall be healed.
Go over to 1 Kings.
Chapter 2.
Go to chapter 5. 1 Kings. Chapter 5.
Verse 1.
Now let me get there myself. As a matter of fact, go to 1 Kings 8 and 17. 8 and 17. 1 Kings 8 and 17. And 18. Read, daughter.
1 Kings
8,
17 and 18.
Uh-huh.
And it reads, and it was in the heart of David.
It was in David's heart. Oh, glory to God. Is it in your heart? It was in David's heart. Now, it's not. We're not so much talking about this heart that pumps blood, but we're talking about the Bible. There are times when the Bible talks about the heart, and it's not talking about this one here. It's talking about your mind. Well, you're walking around, and it's just in your mind. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. To do something for the Lord because you love God. Read.
And it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel.
In other words, here's David. David's walking around desiring to build your house. You know, I believe that, praise God, that's why the Lord has built us a house. And I'm talking about our personal house. Oh, glory to God. Even on more than one occasion. Amen. Praise God, because we've had a heart to build him a house. And I'm saying something because I believe that if you ever get a heart to build God a house, God will build you a house. You don't have to worry about having a place to stay. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. God will provide. God will make a way for you to have a place to stay if you desire to build God a house, because God is not going to let you outdo him. Glory to God. Read.
And the Lord said unto David, my father, whereas it was in thine heart to build a house unto my name, thou didst well that it was in thine heart.
You did well. In other words, it pleased God that it was in his heart. Oh, glory to God. Go to 1 Kings 5 and let's see what I want to go next. I was just writing down scripture that the Lord was leading me. Oh, glory to God. Go to, I just want to be kind of, I want to be led by the Lord, so y'all just be patient with me for 1 second. Go to 1 Kings 6:1.
And it came to pass in the 418th year.
And let me say this here. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. I'm just going to say yes to the Lord. I know it's more important, because it's never been a big deal for me, because to me it's been more important to build up God's people than anything. Because the people are the church, and it's not so much the building. Oh, glory to God. Who wouldn't? Would I say no to a building? No, I would never say no to a building. Oh, glory to God. It's not for me to sit around and worry about how we're going to do it financially. You know, can I tell you something? When there are financial challenges that come to my life, I make a practice of giving more. Oh, glory to God. Sometimes we wonder how do you come out of things financially? Oh, glory to God. As a matter of fact, I really don't even do a whole lot of praying about finances, about money. I have just learned to speak to money. Because I understand that the Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love Christ Jesus and are called unto his purpose. And so what God was saying here, that everything that I have created on this here planet, I'm called to work for you. I created it, everything in the stratosphere, everything in the universe. When he said all things, he circumvented everything that he created. You know, I believe in that so much that guess what? When God created Adam, before Adam sinned and before Adam failed, oh, glory to God. I just believe that Adam really didn't have to go, you know, he had to work the garden, but I believe that his working was just probably just speaking the things. Just like his father. Oh, glory to God. He didn't have to till and do any hard labor and hard work until he had sin. So if he wanted a piece of fruit, I believe that he could just say, I want a piece of fruit, and the fruit would come to him. But that's just me. I don't know. Sometimes I get out there. Oh, glory to God. But the Bible says all things. Everything got a job. And so when you understand that all things, you don't have to sit around and do a bunch of praying. You start speaking to money and speaking what the word says, money. The word of God says you're supposed to dwell in my house. Oh, glory to God. So I command you to come and dwell in my house and exist in my house. So isn't it amazing that God says you don't have to work for, the Bible says you can't serve God and mammon. Okay, let me say that again. You can't serve God and mammon. You're meant to serve God, and then mammon is meant to serve you. And so because mammon is meant to serve you, all you got to do is just command mammon, or mammon is money, is wealth, to line up with the word of God concerning you. Is that all right? And so the hardest work that you got to do when it comes down to money is speak to it. And a lot of times we haven't learned that. Some of us are poor because our mouth is poor. You have not learned to speak to money. I know this is probably some of y'all the first time you ever heard this. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. But didn't Jesus say, if you say to that mountain, go to the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. Go to the book of Matthew. 21 and 21, right quick, daughter. We're going to keep on with because I just believe that this is going to, when God do it, it's going to be a peaceful building. Amen. A peaceful, whether God have us to, you know, begin to buy a building and renovate it or however he wants to do it. But I just believe it's going to be peaceful. What does 21 and 21 say?
Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if you have faith, and doubt not.
Now Jesus is saying, I'm saying this unto you. I'm telling you something. If you have faith and doubt not, read.
You shall not only do this, which is done to the fig tree.
Come on, you're going to, just like I did this, you're going to be able to do this also.
And also, if you shall say unto this mountain.
If you shall say to this mountain.
Be thou removed.
It's not like Jesus took a small circumstance and put it out there. In other words, you speak to this rock and this rock will move. But literally, Jesus said, you're going to be able to speak to what?
Mountain.
This mountain. Now, last time I checked, it ain't the easiest thing in the world to move a mountain. But Jesus said, you're going to be able to speak to. You think this is something that I told this fig tree to dry up and it dried up. He says, man, you're going to be able to speak to mountains. Hold up now. Speak to mountains. In the beginning, how did God create the heavens and the earth? He spoke it. The Bible says your mouth is so powerful. Come on, somebody. And I ain't got time to go all into that. But you got to learn. You got to learn, my God. You got to learn to guess what? To say it. To say what you're believing God for. In faith. Believing that it's going to be done. Read, daughter.
You shall speak to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. It shall be done.
It shall be done. Anybody believe that?
Amen.
Anybody believe that? So in other words, you got to say something. The mountain ain't going nowhere unless you begin to learn to say something. Speak to it. The Bible says you shall decree a thing. You shall decree a thing and it shall come to pass. What are you decreeing and what are you saying? And so guess what? Guess what? Oh, glory to God. When we begin to build, your mouth got to be ready. More so than your pocket. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Because when you look in the Bible, David didn't build, but Solomon began to build. But can I tell you something? God sent help. Okay. Can I tell you something? Solomon didn't reach out to King Hiram, but King Hiram reached out to what? Solomon. Glory to God. Because when you get ready to build, glory to God, God is going to begin to have people to do what? To reach out to you. He reached out to him and said, I heard that your father died and such and such. What can I do for you? How can I help? Oh, glory to God. And here's Solomon. Solomon says, well, you know, I heard you guys are the best woodcutters and stonecutters and craftsmen around. And guess what? If you can cut some wood, if you can cut some stone for me, I'll be a pleased man. And he says, man, I will help you out. I will do it. Here, God sent. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God is going to send people to help. This is why I realize now why the Lord had me to begin to read First Kings. I realize I begin to look and it just begin to jump off the page. And I'm like, my God, God, you sent the help. You sent the help. Because my wife we know that in the past we've had to reach out for help at times. But now here's God sending the help. Come on, somebody. Without him saying a word. The Bible says that they didn't start building the temple until 4 years later. Four is the number of, well, I won't go all into that, but 4 years later. They spent the first 4 years cutting stones and cutting wood. Okay. I'm gonna say that again. They spent the first 4 years because, you know, I'm like sitting there saying, okay, you know, why would it say, you know, and I've read this a million times, but why would it say, you know, 4 years later? Because they were cutting stones and cutting, because guess what? They did not do any hammering. They did not do any cutting inside of the city. In other words, the most they did was drag these big stones into the city and set them into place. And so how many has ever been around a construction site? And all you hear is bang, bang, you know, boom, boom, boom. You're hearing all kinds of noise because they're doing construction. But here in the city, it was peaceful. Why was it peaceful? It was peaceful because there was no sound of construction going on in the city. I don't know if y'all understand what I'm saying.
You are listening to WWBC Coco, Merritt Island, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, 94.7 FM, W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Pompeii, Indian Atlantic, Indian Harbor Beach, Satellite Beach, 100.7 FM, and W260CL, Coco, 99.9 FM.
Just a small sampling of recent headlines reveal just what a disorienting cultural moment this is. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. In just the last few weeks, we've learned of a man winning a woman's swimming championship, a Supreme Court nominee refusing to define the word woman, and the Biden administration endorsing gender reassignment surgery for minors. Back in 2020, theologian and historian Dr. Carl Truman provided a full account of how these kinds of things that would have been unthinkable a generation ago have become unquestionable today. The dramatic shifts in how we think about gender and sexuality are among the fruits, not the roots, of a much deeper shift in how we think about the human person. Dr. Truman's book, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self, described the origin story of what's been called the cultural identity crisis. Centuries ago, thinkers, writers, and activists began to rethink, redefine, and eventually over-sexualize the concept of self. By describing that whole history and process, The Rise and Triumph of the Modern Self felt to many of us like a long overdue answer key for this cultural moment. It weighed in at over 400 pages, and it became the definitive account of the thinker's ideas, expressions, and consequences of the sexual revolution. Well, thankfully, Dr. Truman heard the many pleas for a less academic approach to these same essential concepts, one that works out that same essential analysis, but for the Christians dealing with the everyday chaos of the culture outside of the context of the university. The new and much slimmer version is called Strange New World, How Thinkers and Activists Redefined Identity and Sparked the Sexual Revolution. In it, Truman tells the story of the development and propagation of ideas that